The final speaker of this session is Adrian Sojmos. So Adrian is a PhD student at the Doctoral School of Physics at the Eötvös University under the supervision of Zoltán Cimborás, who is the leader of the Quantum Computing and Quantum Information Research Group in IGNEP. And Adrian is interested in the application of group theory for quantum informational problems. And that's what he will talk about.
Thank you, Orsa, for the nice words. Hopefully everybody can hear me. So yes, my name is Adrian Sojmos. I'll try to make this work. Yes, I'm Adrian Sojmos. I'm a junior research fellow at Vigna. And of course, I do not work alone, and these will not be my results alone. So I work with Dr. Zoltán Cimborás, who is the group leader. We have two other PhD students, Ágoston Kaposi and Zoltán Kolarovsky, who are amongst you. And we also have a PhD student who recently finished his PhD, David Jakob, who is now at Duke University and thus, unfortunately, cannot attend today. Now, I have two topics that I want to talk about, and the time is short. I want to talk about unitary T designs firstly. Maybe some of you have heard about spherical designs, and this is how lead to unitary T design. Spherical designs, you have to imagine having a d-dimensional sphere and a T degree polynomial on this sphere. You can take the average of this polynomial on the sphere and you get a number. And if you can find an amount of points, sorry, not that one, an amount of points quite symmetrically on this sphere, such that if you take the function on this point and make the average of the values at these points, and you get the same amount or the same result as you were doing the integral over the sphere, that means that these points form a unit spherical design. And similarly, in quantum information science, the idea is that you have the unitary group down here, and you want to do an average over this unitary group, maybe a T degree average over this unitary group with respect to the Haar measure. If you can find a finite set of unitaries V, such that for any linear map, you can take a finite sum, and it will give you the same result as if you were doing the integral over the whole unitary group. That means that you have a unitary T design. And of course, the T is the same here as it is in the exponent. For me, this was fascinating because you don't have to sample the whole Haar measure. You don't have to take continuously many elements. You only take a finite number of them. You make this sum and you get the same answer. What's even more fascinating is that unitary T designs always exist for any T and any dimension D. Okay, what are its uses? I will not go into this, but I want to talk about them. So they are good for de-randomization of probabilistic constructions, for channel fidelity estimation, for randomized benchmarking, and for shadow tomography, and for many, many more stuff. To get a feel of these designs, I'll go into a bit of group theory, although I do not have a lot of time, so there will not be a lot of group theory. But it turns out that if you do this averaging out here on the right-hand side, not here on the right-hand side, you get something that commutes with the T degree defining representation of the unitary group. Now, if you remember the fusion rules of the unitary group, these are the two non-trivial, or the first two non-trivial fusions of the defining representation of the unitary group. You get, after this averaging, because of Schur's lemma, you get something that is proportional to projectors onto the invariant subspaces, which are defined by these irreps. And in for one design, it's really easy, because for one design, Schur's lemma will tell you that you have something which will be proportional to the identity. And the proportionality will be given by the trace of the linear map that you fed into the equation. If you know your group theory, this means that any irreducible representation, which is necessary for finite dimensions, necessary unitary as well, of a finite group will be a good one design. But for one designs, we're good. What about two designs? Now, for two designs, you want something that after the average will be proportional to two projectors. Firstly, a projector to the symmetric subspace and a projector to the anti-symmetric subspace. This is much more involved. And you can imagine that as I'm increasing T, this will get more and more difficult. So what can we do? What's the state of the affairs? The most elegant type of construction is group designs. Unitary group designs are designs, so finite set of unitaries, that actually form a group themselves. It's quite a nice property to have. And it turns out that if you're using the Clifford groups, then for prime power dimensions, they will give you two designs. Good. And for qubit system, you actually have a three design. Very nice. Can we go further? It turns out that if you're using group designs, it has been proven that there are no four group designs for relevant dimensions. That's problematic. And the second one is that you have two designs in prime power dimensions, but there is no general construction for two designs in every dimension. Our results are trying to break through these barriers and these problems. And I'll show you the first one. So the first one is trying to break through this this barrier that we can only have three group designs. And we introduce something called generalized group design. But we're not going into the theorem because it's quite involved. The idea is you take two finite groups, or actually two representations of finite groups in the same dimension, of course. I'll denote this H and K. And you choose them such that, for example, K will give you an irrep in the symmetric subspace. So remember, for two designs, we want to construct a two design right here. You want something that will be proportional to the projection on the symmetric subspace and something that will be proportional to the projection on the anti-symmetric subspace. So if you have one finite group or representation that will stay an irrep on the symmetric subspace and the other here, which is irreducible on the anti-symmetric subspace, what you can actually do, you can take the element-wise product of these two sets, and it turns out that this will give you a two design. Quite interesting. You can generalize this, which is even more involved, the idea being you take n number of finite groups, and they are all such that they will be irreducible on one of the invariant subspaces, which are labeled by Young diagram in the general case. And if they are nice, they behave nicely, I will not go into this unless someone asks, their product, so the product set of these, will actually form a unitary T design. And with this, using a program called GAP, we have found an example of the four design in 12 dimensions. So you take the standard irreducible representation of the 13 degree alternating group. It will stay irreducible on the anti-symmetric subspace, which is this little column here. And if you take any of the two 12 dimensional irreducible representations of the six-fold cover of the Suzuki group, I know everybody's familiar, it will stay irreducible on these invariant subspaces labeled by these Young diagrams, and together their product will form four design. Good. So in this case, we have broken the three design barrier. This isn't a group anymore. So I have to remind you that this isn't a group design. It is a generalized group design because it is made up of groups. And what's even more interesting, we are giving a construction for two designs in any dimension D. The idea being we're using the alternating group on D elements. It has a very easy representation in D dimension. You take a basis, whatever you like, and you define the action of the group by permuting the indices or permuting the basis element. Quite easy. It turns out that this is reducible. I think most of you know that it will be made up of a trivial representation and something which is called a standard representation of the alternating group, or similarly to the symmetric group. And the standard representation is what we're interested in. It's a D minus one dimensional representation. And if you take the fusion of two of these for high enough dimension, it will always split up into these four different irreducible representations, which in turn mean four different projectors. And so if you do an averaging out for the alternating group, you get something which is proportional to these four projectors. We love this one here because it's already looking like a two design for the anti-symmetric subspace. But what we would like is these three to merge together to form the projector on the symmetric subspace such that the parameter in front of it is the right one as well. I will not go into detail. I'll show you proof by picture or figure. The idea being is that we have the representation of the alternating group, the standard representation of the alternating group. And by choosing, and this is the difficult part, a very nice transformation, we can transform it, form another set, which is also sort of like a representation of the standard representation of the alternating group, but in a different basis. And what we do, we take the product, again, the element-wise product of these two sets, and what we end up with is something called orthogonal design. It turns out that what we can do here in the first step is we can merge these two projectors in the right way. And in the next step, again, by finding a clever transformation, we can get another set, and by merging these together, taking the element-wise products, you get what we wanted, a unitary two design for any dimension D. Again, this is not a group design, but it is a unitary two design. Now for the other part, if you have lost what I've been talking about so far, this is time to get back into the game, because you'll find new stuff. Symmetric state extensions, what I'll call shareability, because I'm used to calling it shareability. If you want to go into the details why I do this, I can, but it's not that important. Just so we're on the same page, I know you're a physicist, you've learned quantum theory, but maybe you're not familiar with how we do it in quantum information science. Usually physicists are quite comfortable with wave functions or vectors in a complex Hilbert space. In this case, I will always talk about finite dimensional Hilbert spaces. But in quantum information theory, we like to talk about one projection and, in general, the convex combination of one projection, which are density matrices. Okay. The second thing is, if you want to talk about entanglement, you always need a multipartite system. So you cannot have one system which is entangled, because who would it be entangled with? In the easiest case, you can have two systems. And for example, if it's not entangled at all, you could have a state which is a product state. So the system is in a product state. You have something happening on the left-hand side, something happening on the right-hand side. In contrast, you could have a singlet state here, which we know, or most of you know, is a very entangled state, or it is an entangled state for a bipartite case, and it cannot be written up as a product state at all. More generally, you can talk about something we call separable states, which are these convex combinations of sort of product states. And it turns out that the definition of entanglement is those states which cannot be written up as separable state. Okay. So what is symmetric state extension about? It's about the monogamy of entanglement. The monogamy of entanglement states that if you have a bipartite system, a pure entangled state, quantum state, it cannot be correlated to any other system. What you should imagine is, if you love someone very, very much, you cannot be in love with someone else, because that doesn't work. If you do not really love your wife, then you could have several of them and you could love them equally. To formalize this, the idea is you take a two-partite system and you take a state on this, and you ask the question, in a tripartite system where you have two Bs, they are copies of these systems, are the same, so you have one husband, two wives in this case, can you find a state on this tripartite system such that it's similar to the original one, meaning that if you leave out, you omit one of the Bs, you get back the original one. So you trace out on this B, you get back the original one, or you trace out for the other B, you still get back the original one. This is easy to generalize. The idea is you have, again, a bipartite system with a state on it, and then you take N copies of A, M copies of B, so you have N husbands and N wives, and what you want is for each pair of them to be the same as the original. Okay. So why is this shareability fun? What you can do is you can ask for each state what is its shareability number. And it turns out that for a state is infinitely, infinitely shareable if and only if it's separable. And in this way, this quantifies or qualifies entangled states. If it's an entangled state, you can have maximal numbers. So you could say the state is 5-4 shareable at most. It is also LOCC monotone, which means that it cannot decrease, this shareability numbers cannot decrease for local operations and classical communications, which means that if Alice does something on her laboratory and Bob does something in his, and maybe they even talk on the phone, it cannot really change these maximal shareability numbers, because this is the same as you cannot really create entanglement this way. So in this way, it is an entanglement measure. It's difficult to calculate in general, as most entanglement measures are, but it's fun. And I'll talk about two versions where we or two problems where we have solved this. One of them is being Werner states. Now, Werner states are very similar to what you've seen before for designs. They're states that they are invariant to this twofold tensor product of unitaries. And it turns out, if you remember what I talked about previously, it means that this is proportional to projection onto the symmetric subspace and one to the anti-symmetric subspace. Usually this is not the parametrization used for Werner states. We use a different one using the identity and something called a flip operator, which exchanges the two Hilbert spaces, these two. And you get a set of states which has one parameter described from -1 to 1. And it turns out that between 0 and 1, they are all separable. And between -1 and 0, they are all entangled. What you can ask, okay, so which of these are 1-3 shareable, for example? And what you want, you have to give the lower bound of the set of states or in this parameter space, the lower bound, which will denote the set that is 1-3 shareable. We have solved this problem and it's quite involved and will not go into it. If you're interested, I can talk a bit more about it. It's based on representation theory. And the result, for example, in dimension 5 is the following diagram. So of course you have nice, well, not really nice numbers, but you can make a nice figure. You choose one, for example, to see what is a 10, 5 shareable Werner state. So this is 10 here, 5 here. And if you can read grayscale, which I would imagine you can't, you will get the lowest parameter for which states are 10, 5 shareable. What you should see on this figure, what's interesting, is that there's a non-trivial trade-off between NA and NB. It's not the sum of them, it's not the biggest one, it's a non-trivial trade-off. There is another set of states, which I will not have time to talk about, called isotropic states. For them, only the largest counts. So if you want something that is 10, 5 shareable, the result is always interested in the larger number, so 10 shareability. And similarly, we have a partial result for OO states, which are orthogonal states, similar to Werner states, but here you want them to be invariant to the tensor product of orthogonal representation. It turns out the representation theory of the orthogonal group is much more involved, and it turns out that here you will have 3 projections. And because if you have quantum states, this means that you will have a 2-dimensional phase space or parameter space, which is this triangle here. The rectangle here is the set of separable states. And if all goes well, I have a GIF here. So now here the dimension is changing constantly, and you can see the 1-2 shareable set of states, which is this red one, how it behaves and how it changes. You can also see that the set of separable states gets smaller and smaller, but the set of 1-2 shareable states is quite constant. This was, I think, the last result. And with this, I thank you for your attention. And unfortunately, Tomáš has already said this quote, so I will not repeat it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adrián, for this very nice talk. Are there any questions?
Do you have a question, Oshin?
Well,
it's okay. If anybody is afraid to talk in front of an audience, then I'm happy to answer questions in private afterwards. Or actually, you can find me. Yeah, my email is there, or you can find a group. So thank you.
Yeah, and this is actually a good idea to move on because we are
10
minutes over time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.